The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter. Jason Peter under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
We are back this weekend on the Big E Sports Show, the fastest hour in radio. I'm your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. It is time now for our favorite segment. We're going to talk some college football. We're going under the helmet with Jason Peter. Of course, this is being provided by our good friends at Mercer Well Service. How are you, Jason?
I'm good. How are you, Elissa?
Well, Jason, now that you're asking me, I'm not so good because I was very disappointed in that beatdown, Texas A&M, Oklahoma, 41-13. I just didn't anticipate it would be that bad.
I didn't think it was going to be that bad either, but I think Texas A&M would do that to a lot of people right now. They have kind of found their rhythm, and I don't think it's shocking now that you look back at the regular season and you look at Alabama, and the one game that they lost is to A&M and Johnny Football, and I mean, to be able to go into Tuscaloosa and do that, I think after you saw the beat down that they put on Notre Dame, and I think it kind of puts everything in perspective that A&M is going to be a preseason, top three, I think, for next year. Disappointing, obviously, with Oklahoma, and I know Bob Stoops has got to be frustrated and his staff, and I'm sure that the people down in Sooner Country are getting frustrated as well, because Oklahoma is... watching that A&M game really showed you how far they are away from being one of those elite teams.
Right.
It's just, I don't know if it's, the system or if it's defensive issues, what the problem is exactly, but Oklahoma's kind of almost got to go back to the drawing board, I think.
Jason Peter is with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Let's go back to the gentleman, the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback. You know, usually they say after you win the Heisman that they just kind of fall apart, but he just seems to have taken his game to a whole new level. And this young man, he is fascinating to watch, Jason.
Yeah, I mean, it was just breaking all the trends, with a freshman can't win the Heisman, and then following it up with a poor performance in the bowl game. I mean, the kid just, so-called stigmas are out there, he breaks them. I mean, he threw for, I think it was 287 and a couple touchdowns. The INT basically should have been a touchdown as well. He rushed for about 230 yards. I mean, there's nothing that this kid can't do, and you're watching him out there. I mean, Oklahoma's got great team speed. They're not that far away from the speed of an Alabama or somebody like that. But Johnny Manziel was out there and just outrunning guys. I mean, he is just... you just almost gush kind of talking about him, and I know people are probably sick and tired of hearing about it, but unfortunately for those people, you're going to have three more years of this, and the sky is the limit with this kid. I mean, you can't just say he's a runner, or you can't just say, well, he's good because he's faster than everybody. I mean, he can throw the ball. He's accurate. He can throw on the run. He can run with the football. He's a leader out there. I mean, the kid has got a bright, bright future.
Jason Peter with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We want to pause for a moment. We want to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. Also, check out Jason Peter's website. He's got some great stuff on there, great information at jasonpeter.com. And let's shift avenues now. Let's talk a little bit about the BCS national title game. And my goodness, what an absolute beatdown. And I guess really no surprise, a lot of folks, you yourself included, had selected that Alabama would come out on top. But did you think that Notre Dame wouldn't show up defensively?
I just think that Notre Dame really didn't have any business kind of being in that game. I think they were there a few years early. And that's, I guess, kind of a broad statement there. That's just, I guess, me giving them the benefit of the doubt that Brian Kelly will continue to be there and they'll just continue to get better. I mean, let's face it, they barely got by with the skin of their teeth, basically a Big Ten schedule. I mean, you know, from the beginning of the year, just beating Purdue by 3 points. I think the best game that they had, or the best win, was probably Stanford. I mean, USC, one of the worst seasons that they've had. I mean, talk about a fall from the top. I mean, with USC going from one down to losing the Sun Bowl, they just didn't have, I think, the game preparation or those kind of war, those battle-type tests that Alabama had been through. And you know, it was evident out there. I mean, just Alabama just manhandled them. I mean, Manti Te'o, missed another tackle. I mean, it was just, you know, and I feel bad for him. But, you know, there's so many things that you can pick from that game. One of them is saying that, and this goes back to 1995 when Tommy Frazier was kind of snubbed that Heisman Trophy. The voting for these major awards should be done at the end of the season. I think, you know, you look at the list of the awards that Manti Te'o won, and it's pretty much every defensive and player of the year awards that's out there other than the Heisman Trophy. And I think if people were given a chance to vote again, I don't know if they would do it. I mean, you know, the best players are supposed to show up in the biggest games, when the lights are the brightest. And I know he had a tough time out there with, you know, playing against Alabama's offensive line and the weapons that they have. But I'm sorry, if you're the best player on the defensive side of the ball in college football, you gotta show up more. And I think they gave him 10 tackles at the end of the day. I couldn't tell you one of them. You know, I really couldn't. I mean, maybe there was some jump on pile type tackles, but it was men playing with boys out there. And you know, fortunately for Nebraska, it's been the best press that they've gotten probably since Tom Osborne retired in my last year, because Alabama now has tied Nebraska for winning those three championships within a four-year span.
We're talking to one of the all-time greats with Nebraska, Jason Peter, with our weekly Under the Helmet segment. We only got about 60 seconds left, and, you know, going back, talking about this thing with Notre Dame, truly their defensive performance, I thought it was uncharacteristic. I thought they would have been a whole lot better. But I think my final question for you, Jason, is, it is remarkable. I mean, although Notre Dame, they finished the season with one blemish, you know, one loss on their record, they're 12-1. They really did exceed all expectations. And my goodness, I mean, they entered into this season unranked.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, you got to tip your hat to Brian Kelly and the job that he did. And like you said, an unranked team making it to the end. But I think it's more of a reason why college football is going to go to the playoff. And I know that it's only going to start with, you know, a handful of four teams, I think. And but, you know, I think down the road you're going to look at something where hopefully it is a 16, top 16 or top 18 type playoff. You know, you bring back Texas A&M into the conversation. I don't think there's anybody in the country that would want to play Texas A&M this late in the year with the way that they're operating and firing on all cylinders. So, yeah, great for Notre Dame, but it really shows you the things that have to get fixed in college football.
And, of course, we'll wait and see, Jason, if Brian Kelly, if he takes his job to the next level and goes to the NFL after meeting with the Eagles. So, Jason, listen, have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week, okay?
Thanks for having me.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a moment.
Working here in the Barnett Shale requires that you have the best equipment available, because every job counts. Put Energy Weld Fab to work on your next project. Energy Weld Fab manufactures oil and gas production equipment, as well as fabrication of custom vessels, piping, and structural steel. The Energy Weld Fab sales staff has a wealth of knowledge working here in the state of Texas and other regions, as some of their biggest clients are folks like EOG, Chesapeake, Quicksilver, and XTO. Call Mike Clements at Energy Weld Fab's team today with your questions and ordering information at 903-297-2500. That's 903-297-2500. Energy Weld Fab. is your number one choice for oil field and production equipment because they understand that every job counts. That's Energy Weld Fab at 903-297-2500.
Being a leader in the production enhancement services in the oil and gas market requires the right people and right services. At IPS Integrated Production Services, we are the number one choice when it comes to completion, workover, and production optimization services and products. At IPS, we utilize experienced personnel with local expertise and fit for purpose equipment to deliver the best services and to create cost-effective, tailored solutions that increase production and lower operating costs. IPS. They deliver results. Call 940-484-4481.
A friend of mine, I've known him about 10 years, played Division II or III basketball and was teaching his daughter in the driveway one day about, you got to shoot it higher. Your arc is too flat. So anyway, he hired a NASA engineer, and they built this thing. And what it is, it's a camera that takes 25 shots a second. It's a computer that calculates like crazy, the same kind of guys that send rockets to Mars. And then it's a speaker telling you what just happened. And there's two things it teaches you. Use the word consistency just a minute ago. That's so critical. If I shoot a shot that comes in at 42 degrees and the next shot's at 48 degrees, well, more than likely, if I put the same amount of power on them, the 48 degree thing is going to fall short. You want to have the same arc as consistent as you can get it. So this thing is hardwired into the deal. It's on 24/7, so our players can come in here at night anytime they want to, and there's a knob right here. It turns the volume up. So it's been on all along, but now you'll be able to hear something. Now, Alyssa, why don't you go shoot us a free throw?
Oh, my gosh, I'm coming out of retirement.
And whatever angle is entering, it'll tell us.
Coach, I feel like I need to do what you said, go in close and shoot, get my alignment and everything. Okay, I'm going to do this. You ready?
If you're like me. All right, go ahead.
Forty-one.
Now I'm going to demonstrate one other thing. Here's the rim, and from the front of the rim to the back, it's 18 inches. 18 inches in diameter. I'm going to flip a switch on there, and Noah is going to tell us a number. And if this ball enters the exact middle of the hoop, it'll say 9, or 10, or 11, or if it's short, it might say 6 or 4, whatever. And all I have to do is flip a switch.
Seven.
Instant feedback.
What kind of feedback do you get from some of the coaches and the assistant coaches, from some of their players, and they're able to, you know, really pinpoint what they do?
There's nothing like it in existence. It's terrific. Everybody likes it.
Well, we've talked about balance. We've talked about eyes seeing our target, where we want the ball to go to our target, but also alignment, your elbow. That's very important, too. I mean, sometimes you see shooters, they got their, you know, elbow out. It's important to be compressed and straight up, straight down, correct?
That's true. Although there's some good shooters with the elbow out a little bit, I'll face the camera. But you sure don't want this because it puts the hand in the wrong place on the ball. But Rasheed Wallace and some other guys have batted out like this. But it's close, and people are built differently. There's some players that are built so bulky and through here that they can't do this. It's too awkward for them. But anyway, if you can and it's comfortable, then you should have your hand directly under the ball. Your elbow directly under the ball, your hand directly behind the ball, because this isn't like a baseball where you're throwing a curve, you're not gripping a basketball, you're pushing it. So you have to have your hand directly behind the ball and push it straight. That's why you're looking at the exact middle of the back rim. You're not looking at an 18-inch wide target. You're making this thing go straight toward the exact middle.
One of the players that I've watched when he shoots, of course, he's so great, a pure shooter, is Dirk Nowitzki. And it seems like he doesn't have he has a soft follow through. He doesn't snap his wrist too hard. He has such a beautiful release. Is that true?
That's true. And follow through, I don't care what sport you're playing, the follow through is important. It's a reflection of what went on before. And what these players do sometimes, and I won't name names, but they like to touch hands. Whether they make it or miss, they reach forward and touch the hands of their teammates.
Teammates, right.
Well, if you shoot and fall forward and do that, you're killing the follow-through. You're doing it too quickly. Or another thing sometimes they do, they think they've got to get back on the second of two free throws, got to get back and play defense. So as they're shooting it, they're starting to lean back. Changes the physics of everything, you know. So what we tell them is, look, shoot the shot. We got four other guys to play defense. We can touch their hands later, but shoot the shot and finish up and be perfectly balanced with a nice follow through, and then go do what you have to do or want to do, touch them or whatever.
And I know, Coach Boren, that you've produced a wonderful DVD on how to shoot free throws and how to coach free throws, correct?
Well, I'm proud of what's in here now because I not only cover the video part of it for 60 or 70 minutes, but then I have this special section where I show either a coach or a parent or even a player. This is good for whomever wants to get better at free throw shooting, how to film themselves, where to put the camera, and so forth. And then the 39 mechanical things I'm looking for so that it can be printed out and you can use from then on, because videos are, people will look at them once or twice and then that's it, and they'll just try to remember what they saw and they'll say, that was pretty good. But I've totally emptied my brain as far as everything I've learned in the last 19 years of doing this into these five pages so that a player can, primarily a coach or a parent, can use that as long as they're involved in basketball.
I think one of the biggest questions I get asked, you know, covering the NBA is, why, Coach Boren, are there so many NBA players, great players, that do so many things well? Why do they struggle at the free throw line? And, you know, I do bring up, it's been very well documented with Dwight Howard or Shaquille or back in the day, Wilt Chamberlain, they were not very successful at the free throw line. You're talking 50% free throw shooters. Why is that?
Well, it's an unusual deal, but it's an overlooked, first of all, it's 20% of all the points scored. And every close game is decided at the free throw line. You look back at the stats and if they were 6 for 14 or whatever, you know. So, but it's a little bit where the coaches look down the bench and whoever was the best shooter back when he played, he says, you're my shooting coach. Well, it's a different skill set. Just because you can shoot doesn't mean you can teach. So it's just something, nobody's born with the ability to go out there and shoot free throws. You have to learn it. So you need to learn it from a shooting coach, primarily. And these head coaches are really busy. Their plate is so full, it's unbelievable. They're busy looking at video for the next game and the next one just goes on and on. And they deal with the public and their alumni or whatever they have to deal with. It just is an overlooked deal, and that's why it's stayed flat. The results have been the same for 50 years. It's amazing.
So it's not so much just because they're big guys, they're seven-footers. I mean, we see Dirk, how successful he is year in and year out at the free throw line. But, you know, I mentioned Shaq and Dwight. But, I mean, Rajon Rondo with the Celtics, we saw him a few weeks ago, and he's only a 60% free throw shooter.
Right.
He's so good in so many other areas. It really is about what you're talking about. It's the mechanics. It's not how big, how small, but it's really refining that skill set, correct?
And some of the bigger players will say, oh, my hands are too big. Well, that's baloney. The bigger the better, because you're pushing it,
okay.
You know. And it's a little bit of a trivia, but sometimes people ask me, well, who have you helped the most all these years working for the Mavericks? Well, 7'6", Sean Bradley.
Oh, wow, yes.
When we got him from Philadelphia, he was shooting 65%. And he's a good student. I mean, a teacher's worthless if the guy didn't listen, or girl, whoever. The student's got to listen, or the teacher's. But anyway, Sean did everything I asked. Practiced the right way and did everything. He slowly got better, went from 65, it took 5 years, but he got to 90%. That's huge.
What was the key thing that,
I
thought he used to have his elbow like coming right in front of his.
Well, one thing he did, he had his right eye blocked. You put your arm in front of, if you have two eyes, you ought to use them. That's where we get our depth perception. And what I wanted was this, and I didn't get it. I wanted him to move it where both eyes could see the target, but at least he did that. So he just moved the whole arm over. And then shot and did everything else I wanted. That was the main thing, though.
And it certainly made a big difference because, as you said, you know, shooting free throws, it is such a decisive element with the game because games can, it can cost you a game, it can win you a game. The final talking point that we have to discuss, and it's something very near and dear to your heart, is the Elks Hoop Shoot. Tell us about this organization. It's a wonderful philanthropy, and it also gives back to the youth.
Well, I'm really involved in this thing. The Benevolent and Protective Order of the Elks, www.elks.org, terrific website, explains this community service organization that's been around for 140 years. And there are 850,000 men and women that are members of the Elks, and they go to these lodges, and there's 2,000 lodges, and there's some in every state. So it's totally a nationwide deal. And they've got a lot of programs and charities and scholarships and everything, 10 or 11 programs for kids, but their biggest program is called the Hoop Shoot. And it's for boys and girls, three age brackets, 8 to 9, 10 to 11, and 12 to 13. And they start at the local level, nationwide, and they go to district, and then they go to state championships, and then they go to regional championships, and then they go to a national championship, which is held at the Basketball Hall of Fame in Springfield, Massachusetts. And that day, if you're not involved in the Elks deal, you're not allowed. I mean, they take over the place for that finals deal. And the winners, their names are inscribed in the Hall of Fame up there. And Chris Mullen, who a pretty famous basketball player,
Absolutely.
Won it back when... Anyway, this competition is 40 years old. 3 million kids played it last year. Yet there's still a lot of people that don't even know it exists.
Elks.org, is that correct?
Org. Elks.org. It'll tell you all about it, and then you... Where's the nearest one to you? And it's going on right now. So if you air this anytime soon, it's not too late to be in the local competitions right now.
So get off the couch. Ages 8 to 13?
8 to 13. And if you have a little brother or sister or cousin or somebody, tell them about it.
Absolutely. Well, Coach, happy holidays. Blessings to you. Thank you so much for taking time to teach us a little bit about and remind us of the importance of shooting free throws and being a success at the line. Thank you, Coach.
You're welcome. It was fun. Nice spending time with y'all.
Be sure and join us for more exclusive interviews at eradiosports.com. We'll see you real soon.